Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight on this Christmas night. I hope you had a great day today, and we still got a few minutes left on the clock before midnight, so I think I can still say Merry Christmas at midnight for our Canadian friends. I'd have to switch to Happy Boxing Day, I guess, but that's the day after Christmas. And I know about that because of being stationed in England. I spent 3 years in England when I was in the Air Force, and I learned about Boxing Day over there, and I know a lot of our Canadian friends celebrate Boxing Day. But Merry Christmas to you. I hope you had a great day today, and I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And if you're just joining us down in Florida, our listeners at Faith Talk Tampa just joining us here in the 11 o'clock hour, I actually have been talking tonight already for the last hour about the birth of Christ and how the Bible absolutely teaches that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh as we read in the scriptures. And if you want to hear that, go online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And I know not everybody hears our first hour because the program actually comes on at 10 and runs till midnight, but some people don't join us until the 11 o'clock hour. So you can go online, livewithpastoral.com, and when you go there, you'll see on the left, or I'm sorry, on the right-hand side of the page, you scroll down, there's a column, and one is for Sunday, one is for Friday. The Sunday ones are yellow, the Friday ones are green, and you can see the programs right there, and you can listen to the programs that you might not have heard. And in all fairness for our listeners that are just joining us, we have some listeners only listen during the 10 o'clock hour because 11 o'clock's too late for them. So they listen. And I know some people who go online and listen to the 11 o'clock hour later on. And so you'll find them there. You'll see the day for Sunday, and then it'll say hour one, and then underneath it, hour two. And then, of course, if you're not in an area where you hear our Friday afternoon program, we also have a Friday afternoon program from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and those programs are listed there as well. That's all at livewithpastoral.com. And in addition to listening to past programs, you can read a variety of articles. I've got several things there. We've been talking the last couple of weeks about the birth of Christ and things with Christmas, and you can find some of those articles that I was referring to, talking about the shepherds of Bethlehem, why Jesus was made a little lower than the angels, also the Christmas tree. I had an article, "Oh, Christmas Tree or Idolatry," and then, of course, also as we look at the necessity of the virgin birth, and those things are all be available there. And there's also a couple of other things. Over the years, I've put together some things, and two of them are a couple of fun things. They were parodies of familiar stories. One, it was a parody of How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It's How the ACLU Stole Christmas. And then another one is 'Twas the Night Before Winterfest, of course, a parody of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. And so you can enjoy them. I hope they're a blessing to you. And then, of course, in the last half hour of the program tonight, I will be reading, we'll have the birth of Christ according to the scriptures. And so stay tuned for that. And we'll also have that available online where you can listen to that as a complete segment as well. So all that you can find at livewithpastoral.com. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, there as well. So check that out. Hopefully it'll be something there, be a blessing, be an encouragement to you. And of course, want to invite you to visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church if you're ever in the area. We are midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio, right where Interstate 77 and Interstate 271 cross, and we meet at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. It's a little commercial strip building, and we're there toward the eastern end of the building, and we've been there since, of all things, April Fool's Day. So this has been a great year for us. You know, we were in our meeting in a hotel room. We sojourned there for about 13 years. And one day while we were there, we had a large group of people, and we were getting more people showing up for our Friday night Bible study, which every Friday night from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. And while we were there, as we were saying, boy, wouldn't it be nice to have a bigger place? And somebody went online and they found a space that was available. And we thought that the price, the cost, was a misprint. And one gentleman in our church knew the owner and contacted him the next day and found out it wasn't a misprint. And not only was it not a misprint, they knocked another $100 off for us. And so it was a price that quickly became competitive with what we were paying for the hotel room, with the big difference being that we were there 24/7 rather than just on Friday nights and Sundays. And so we prayed about it, and it wasn't but about 2 weeks that we went from just finding out about the space to actually on April Fool's Day, which was the 1st of April, which was a Friday this past year, we found ourselves in there complete with an occupancy permit. Now, I have been associated with the churches and things moving in and trying to get occupancy permits and rent a space and renovate it and all that. And I can honestly say I've never done it this quickly in the past. I don't know anybody else went this quickly. Obviously, God had opened this door for us and made it possible. And so certainly one of the truly great things this year was to be able to celebrate Christmas in our own place for our church. It was nice using the hotel room. It was great. We had a great time there, and we had opportunity to minister to people that were traveling through the area staying in the hotel. But being in our own place has just opened up so many doors for us and so many more opportunities to do things and to serve God. And so we're just thankful. What a blessing this past year has been. I hope that you've had a great year this past year as well. Hope your church is doing well. And I hope you'll, again, be blessed by the program tonight. Like I said, in the last half hour, we spent some time talking about Jesus and the birth of Christ and how the Bible absolutely teaches that he is God manifest in the flesh, that Jesus Christ truly is God. And the Bible clearly tells us that there is not a multiplicity of gods. There's only one God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And then that's quoted in Mark chapter 12, verse 29, where it says, "And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And this is the God that is given to us in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing, not anything made that was made." And then it says in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And that's what we celebrate at Christmas time, that the Word that's defined here in John chapter 1 as God is made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is that Word. Jesus Christ is God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then, of course, the Bible further tells us over in Hebrews chapter 1, in no uncertain terms, that Jesus is both God and Lord. I've had people, and we were talking about this, how I've had people that have said, there's nowhere in the Bible that says Jesus is God. Well, you know, John chapter 1, verse 1 pretty clearly told us that he was God. And then, of course, Hebrews chapter 1, where the Bible is talking about Jesus. It starts out in verse 1, God who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto us, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, capital S. So it's God's talking about Jesus here, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his image and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down in right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, that he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So God is talking about Jesus as the creator and the redeemer. Both of those things are attributed to Jehovah God in the Old Testament. And then God says in verse number 6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. So God says to the angels to worship Jesus Christ, which would be a violation of the Ten Commandments, because we're to have no other gods before him. We're not to worship anything other than God. So why would God tell the angels to worship Jesus if Jesus is not God? Say, well, that doesn't specifically say Jesus is God. Okay, what about verse number 8? In verse number 8 here, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, but unto the Son he, that's God, saith, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible, in no uncertain terms, declares that Jesus is God. And then, in verse number 10, he continues, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. And here, the God of the Bible declares that Jesus, calls Jesus Lord. Isn't that interesting? For all the people who say there's nowhere in the Bible that the Bible actually says that Jesus is God, what do you make of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 10, where Jesus is declared to be God by the God of the Bible and declared to be Lord by the God of the Bible, by Jehovah God? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Well, let me go over to another passage here, and like I said, if you did not hear the last hour, I encourage you to take a listen to that online here when it's available, because we talked about several important passages in Isaiah chapter 43 and 44, and there's some others there that I did not get to that to clearly link Jesus and as to being Jehovah God in there. But let me give you another passage in 1 John chapter 5. And I love to use this one because I've had Jehovah's Witnesses who tell me that there's nothing in the scriptures that say that Jesus is God. You're just inferring it. And when I share some of those verses in Isaiah in chapter 43, 44, in that area, as well as there in Hebrews chapter 1, I say, nothing except these say it. If you ignore these, there's nothing that says it. But then I like to use John 5, 1 John 5, because when I use this verse, and actually sometimes I'll use this verse first because I like the reaction I get, they usually kind of straighten up and kind of draw themselves up and get a smug smile, and they I tell them that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And that's where they get their smile, and they say, oh, those are spurious verses. Those aren't in the originals. And I wait for them to say that. I mean, I love when I'd be disappointed if they don't say that. Because as soon as they say that, and then I kind of pounce on that, because these verses absolutely go back to when John wrote 1 John chapter 5. They were not added in like some believe. This is one of the reasons I use the King James Version of the Bible, not the modern versions, because a lot of the modern versions have removed this passage. The New International Version even has a footnote that says that these words weren't in the originals, the no Greek manuscripts before the 1600s or something like that had this in it. Well, I did some research into this, and I have the footnotes that I wrote in the margin of my Bible simply because you run into this. And I absolutely use this verse because this passage appears in a variety of old versions of the Bible, and it's referenced by a number of writers. Even the Council of Carthage in the year 415 cited this passage. So it's hardly a spurious verse or recent addition, because the old Syriac version of the Bible in the year 170 has this passage. The old Latin version of the year 200 has this passage. And the Vulgate of the 4th and 5th century, as well as the Italic of the 4th and 5th century, they all have this passage in it. This is a little before the 1600s, but then somebody says, well, it's no Greek manuscript before the 1600s. Well, here's the thing. There's other writings that we have, and some of these writings are in Greek, that quote this passage as being authentic, as being a part of 1 John chapter 5. And some of the ancient authors that quoted this passage, and as I said, many of them quoting it in Greek, and well before the 16th century, we have Tatian in the year 150 AD quoted this. Tertullian quoted it in the year 200. Cyprian quoted it in 225. Athanasius quoted this in 350 AD. Priscillian quoted this in 350 as well. Vadmerium quoted it in 380. We had Cassian quoting this passage in 435 AD. Jerome himself referred to it in 450. Cassiodosius referred to it in 480. Vigilius referred to it in 484. And the Victor Vita references it in 489. And Fulgentius referenced it around about the early mid-500s. And so this is well attested to. And then we also see it appearing in Wycliffe's translation of the Bible in 1380. We see Tyndale using it, including it in his Bible in 1525. Coverdale included it in 1535. The Great Bible of 1540 had it. The Matthew's Bible of 1548 had it. The Bishop's Bible of 1568 had it. The Geneva Bible, both the 1557 and 1599 versions had it. And we can go on and on. Here's another one. Liber Apologetica. In 350 AD also referenced this passage. So when somebody tells you that 1 John 5, 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, is a spurious verse, and you shouldn't use that as a proof that Jesus is God. This is a proof of the Godhead here. Three that bear record in heaven. This is not three working in concert with each other. This is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. God the Father, God the Son, the Word, and God the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. One God manifest in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Don't let anybody tell you this is a spurious verse. Don't let anybody tell you this is a recent addition. If they say that, it's because they're either ignorant or misinformed of the truth. The Bible absolutely tells us that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. And in addition to that, it references, it substantiates, I should say, or supports the idea of what we call the Godhead. And of course, that's what we see pictured here. We see, as I've quoted before in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24, where it says, in chapter 43 here, I think is where I want to go. Let me see here. Oh, nope. I'm looking on the wrong page here. One of the problems when you see headings at the top of your page that have the chapters that start and end on that page, and you look down and you're in the other chapter and you read the wrong one at the top of the page. This is Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. As I was saying before, Lord is Jehovah here. It's all capitalized. And this is literally saying, thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, and Jehovah's Redeemer, the Jehovah of hosts. The Redeemer belonging to Jehovah is also called Jehovah. And then he said, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Two verses later, he said, is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. And this is pretty clearly telling us that Jehovah is our Redeemer. He's our Savior. He's our Creator. And that there's Jehovah and Jehovah that belongs to Jehovah. That's because Jehovah is the Godhead that consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, where does the Holy Ghost come in? The Holy Ghost would also be called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And if you go over to Isaiah chapter 48, here's what we read in verses 16 and 17. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Interesting. This is literally God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And now the Lord God, and his Spirit has sent me. Verse 17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God. Isn't that interesting? We have right there in Isaiah chapter 48, in the Old Testament, Isaiah 48, verses 16 and 17, we have Jehovah God, we have the Redeemer, we have the Lord God, and we have his Spirit, all right there described as one God. And it's kind of interesting. This is there's other places that name some of them, but here we come back to 1 John chapter 5 then, verse 7. And there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three, he says, are one. They're not three separate gods working in a committee. One God manifest in three persons. And it's exciting when you see this, and don't let anybody rob you of the teaching in your Bible. If you've got a King James Bible, you're one step ahead of people who don't, because the King James Bible preserves this for us and reminds us who Jesus Christ is, that he is God, and that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is God, and that the Father is God. One God, not three gods. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And so we are not monotheists. We don't worship more than one God. We don't worship three separate gods in a committee. We worship one God who is the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible who exists as the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate. And then, of course, we have God the Holy Spirit, God the Father. And A whole other area that we could get into, but I probably won't write it this time so much just to touch on it. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that God created man in his image, and it uses the plurality, let us make man in our image, and then the next verse uses the singularity of, and he created a man in his image, and that's because the word Elohim that's used there in Genesis chapter 1 and in chapter 2 is a word that's a plural meaning. Like when I say a team, a baseball team, a football team, a basketball team, a soccer team, I'm obviously talking about a single unit that has a multiple makeup to it. And when I talk about a committee, I'm talking about a single unit that has a multiple makeup to it. And the word Elohim talks about one God with a multiple makeup. And so God then creates Adam in the God, in Genesis chapter 2. He takes the dirt, the Bible says, of the dust of the earth that he formed Adam's body. And you see that there in Genesis chapter 2. And he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul, the Bible says. And remember, we're created in God's image. God is a three-part being, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We're created as a three-part being, the body, soul, and spirit. And the body, obviously, is the equivalent in the analogy. It's analogous of God the Son. The spirit, obviously, the breath, breathing in his nostrils, the breath of life. Breath and spirit are synonymous. And so the spirit, we understand that, and the spirit would be analogous to God the Holy Spirit. And that leaves the soul, which would be the mind, the intellect, the emotion, the will of a person. That would be the equivalent of God the Father. And so we picture the triune nature of God in our own makeup. We're not three people. I'm not three people sitting here behind three microphones tonight. I am one person. And when God created the heavens and the earth, God the Father determined what would be done. God the Son carried it out through the power of the Spirit. And see, that's the same thing that's happening in with me right now. My mind, my soul, is making the decision of what to do, what to say. My body is carrying that out, empowered by my spirit. If my spirit was not in my body would be dead, and it wouldn't be doing anything. So I'm a picture, you are a picture of God. You're created in his image, a three-part being. And so again, don't let anybody take away these truths of the scriptures. Study them for yourselves. I've got some of this information in some articles and things that are on our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can read them for free. We're not trying to build a mailing list. We're not trying to sell people things. If you want to give us some money, that's great, but that's not the purpose of that. The purpose is to help people understand God's word. And I'm passionate about that. As we come down to the last week of the year, and of course, next week will be, it'll be 2023, January 1st. We'll be here on New Year's night, not New Year's Eve, New Year's night. The New Year's Day is on Sunday. And as we go into the new year, I just look at this more and more when we see the dearth of biblical knowledge and understanding, not just in people who don't go to church, but in people who go to church. This inability to understand the Bible. And for an unsaved person, we recognize that the natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. But for a believer should not be struggling over some of the, shall I say, easier things in the scripture. I know there's some complicated things. There's some real meat in the scriptures that you got to chew over and meditate on to be able to try and understand it, and it's going to be difficult in some of these passages. But some things are exceedingly easy. But unfortunately, a lot of us, we're stuck on the milk of the word. We're kind of like where Paul rebuked the believers in Hebrews chapter 5, where he said, "For when the time," in verse 12, where he said, "From the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again that which be the first principles, the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of meat and not of strong of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We want to strengthen your walk with the Lord. We want to help you understand the scriptures. We want you to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you till midnight here on this Christmas night. And I just hope you had a great day today. And just a reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can not only find out more about me and listen to past programs, a variety of articles and things that you can read there, and you can link to the page for our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and where I am the pastor. And I just wanted to share a couple things with you tonight as we're wrapping up. I was going to say this is the last Sunday night program of the year because a week from tonight's going to be New Year's Day, and so we have one more program this year on Friday afternoon at 1:30. If you're not in an area where you hear our Friday afternoon programs, we're on on for a half an hour every Friday afternoon. You can go online at livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to those programs, and you can also listen to the full 2 hours of Late Night Live with Pastor Al online at livewithpastoral.com as well. But we've got some special reading of the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scripture coming up here in just a few minutes. And I just want to share a few last thoughts as we closing out the year here as well. And I had a copy of 'Twas the Night Before Winterfest that I wrote, it looks like back in 2006. Every once in a while, I get a desire to do a parody of something. And I had mentioned the last half hour that I did one of the How the Grinch Stole Christmas, How the ACLU Stole Christmas, and that's available online. If you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can find that. But I had a copy, and I thought, this isn't too long. I'll go ahead and read this one tonight as well, and just something a little lighter as we're closing out our Christmas night program and wrapping things up here. And as I said, I wrote this back in December of 2006, and it's entitled, 'Twas the Night Before Winterfest. 'Twas the night before Winterfest when all through the land not a Christian was stirring nor lending a hand. Their Christmas was hung by the attorneys with care. The Christians were nestled all snug in their pews, while visions of Winterfest gave them the blues. And Deacon in his suit coat and I with my tote had just racked our brains for a Winterfest float. When out in the hall there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the room to see what was the matter. Away to the foyer I flew like a flash, tore into the lobby and fell with a crash. The moon on the crest of the holiday tree gave the luster of Earth Day to all I did see, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a rumpled old man with 8 charges to fear. 'Twas a little old lawyer so snidely and slick, I knew in a moment it must be Old Nick. More rapid than eagles his charges they came, and he hooted and hollered and charged us with blame. No Bibles, no witness, no commandments in here, no meetin' nor preachin', and no teachin', you hear. To the stop of your sword I'm a plaintiff to all, I'll dash away, trash away, bash away all. As weak knees before the ACLU did knock, when met with a subpoena, though it was a crock. So up to the courthouse the lawyers they flew, with a case full of briefs, and old Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard out the door their protests and outcries and a little bit more. As I stuck out my head and was looking around, down the pathway old Nicholas came with a bound. He was stressed in a fire from the look of his eyes, and his cases were all tarnished with falsehoods and lies. A bundle of griefs he had flung in his pack, he looked like a swindler, a bit of a quack. His eyes how they smoldered, his grimace so scary. His lawyers were flustered, his attorneys harried. His stern little mouth was drawn down in a frown, for the base of his case the judge had shot down. The stub of a pencil held tight in his fist, and the note he had circled stood out on his list. He had a broad claim that the judge had found smelly, that shook when he sued like a case full of jelly. He was grumpy and sore, a right angry old hob, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of his mob. A look at his case and a peek at the note soon gave me to know what the judge he had wrote. He spoke not a word, for his case was a joke, and filed at the courthouse to harry the folk. By laying his lawsuit astride of the court, and giving a threat to end Christmas by tort, I sprang in the pulpit to the church gave the news of what the judge wrote of old Nicholas' views. God's great gift of his son on that one blessed night sent a savior for all. That's a case you can't fight. And of course, that was a parody of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Every once in a while, I've had it, get the urge to do something like that. I've done a few things over the years, but I happen to have that tucked in with me here tonight. So I just thought I'd share that rather than just talk about it. I hope you enjoyed that. A little lighthearted, but you know, also pointing out the struggle that we have every year. We struggle. The left does not like Christmas. They're kind of like the Grinch. They don't like it at all. And some would like to stop Christmas from coming. Look at the schools that have done away with Christmas break. When I went to school, we had Christmas break every December. And now it's holiday break. And how about the towns that have the holiday tree that's replaced the Christmas tree. There's a couple towns here in our area, northeastern Ohio, that still have a Christmas tree, not a holiday tree. And if your town has a holiday tree, why don't you ask them, what holiday does it celebrate? I mean, what significance does the tree have to, say, Hanukkah? What area of Hanukkah? Is there a Hanukkah tree? I don't think so. How about Kwanzaa? What significance is there with a tree in Kwanzaa? Is there a Kwanzaa tree? The only holiday I can think of that has a Christmas, has a tree associated with it is Christmas. And I know some people would object to the Christmas tree, but we associate Christmas or the tree with Christmas. The evergreen tree coming in the middle of the winter with its green branches, you know, a picture of life in the midst of death. And so it's a Christmas tree. It's not a Kwanzaa tree. It's not a Hanukkah tree. It is a Christmas tree. It's not a holiday tree. There's only one holiday that it represents. It's Christmas. And I hope you had a great Christmas today. And I do want to thank you for taking the time to listen to us tonight. But I want to share with you a reading that we put together some years ago when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands. And it is simply scripture. There's no added words. It's just scripture from the King James Bible on the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures. And I'm going to read that. I hope you'll enjoy it. If you'd like a copy of it, you can go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, and you can download a copy of it, and I encourage you to share it with your friends. So here, take a minute as I read the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures. The birth of Christ according to the scriptures. The Bible says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, "Be it unto me according to thy word," and the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is, "God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace,
goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelled in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. I hope you enjoyed listening to that. The birth of Christ is recorded in the scriptures. And again, if you'd like a copy of that, just go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. And I want to thank you for spending Christmas night with us here on the radio tonight. And from my family, myself, and from our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, let me wish you a Merry Christmas. God bless, and have a Happy New Year.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.